Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday, October 21st episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there. Over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topics, all approached from a Christian worldview. So definitely trustworthy content over there. I would definitely encourage you to get on over there and listen. I will guarantee you, you're going to find something over there you want to listen to. And there's a very good possibility that you'll find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. So again, definitely get on over there and do some listening. I want to continue to point you at the next to last link in our show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative here within our community. So, go ahead and click on the link. Pastor Jay's provided a very thorough description in there for us. And then we'd ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us, we'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us, and we'd ask you to pass that link along so others can do the same. All right, well, with it being a Saturday morning, it being the weekend, we're not going to be doing Bible study this evening, but what we will be doing is go ahead and doing our regular Bible reading. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to open up with the Seventh-day Morning Prayer. It's called God's Good Pleasure. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one, may we hearken to thee. The almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee. The light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are. To recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. All right, our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evenings. The text for it is from 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of Christ constraineth us. How much owest thou unto my Lord? Has he ever done anything for thee? Has he forgiven thy sins? Has he covered thee with a robe of righteousness? Has he set thy feet upon a rock? Has he established thy goings? Has he prepared heaven for thee? Has he prepared thee for heaven? Has he written thy name in his book of life? Has he given thee countless blessings? Has he laid up for thee a store of mercies, which eye hath not seen nor ear heard? Then do something for Jesus worthy of his love. Give not a mere wordy offering to a dying Redeemer. How will you feel when your Master comes if you have to confess that you did nothing for him but kept your love shut up like a stagnant pool, neither flowing forth to his poor or to his work? Out on such love as that, what do men think of a love which never shows itself in action? Why, they say, open rebuke is better than secret love. Who will accept a love so weak that it does not actuate you to a single deed of self-denial, of generosity, of heroism, or zeal? Think how he has loved you and given himself for you. Do you know the power of that love? Then let it be like a rushing mighty wind to your soul to sweep out the clouds of your worldliness and clear away the mists of sin. For Christ's sake, be this the tongue of fire that shall sit upon you. For Christ's sake, be this the divine rapture, the heavenly afflatus to bear you aloft from heaven, to bear you aloft from earth, the divine spirit that shall make you bold as lions and swift as eagles in your Lord's service. Love should give wings to the feet of service and strength to the arms of labor, fixed on God with a constancy that is not to be shaken, resolute to honor him with a determination that is not to be turned aside, and pressing on with an ardor never to be wearied. Let us manifest the constraints of love to Jesus. May the divine lodestone draw us heavenward towards itself. All right. And our reading for this evening, I need to go back and look it up. Is Jeremiah 37 and 38, 1 Timothy 6, Psalm 89, verse 38 through the end of it, verse 52, and Proverbs 25, verse 28. Sorry, it's been kind of a long day, and I don't mean to do that in your ear. Let me bring this up. I wasn't quite prepared, but I needed to get this recorded for you because I didn't want to leave you without something in the morning. All right. And come on. Don't you hate it when things don't load fast enough? I do. All right. There we go. All right. So Jeremiah 37. Hear the word of the Lord. Now Zedekiah the son of Josiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon had made king in the land of Judah, reigned as king in place of Coniah the son of Jehoiakim. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the words of Yahweh which he spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. Yet King Zedekiah sent Jehukal the son of Shelemiah and Zephaniah the son of Messiah, the priest, to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Please pray to Yahweh our God on our behalf." Now Jeremiah was still coming in and going out among the people. They had not yet put him in the prison. Meanwhile, Pharaoh's military force had come out from Egypt, and the Chaldeans who had been besieging Jerusalem heard the report about them, so they withdrew from Jerusalem. Then the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, Thus you are to say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, the military force of Pharaoh, which has come out for your assistance, is going to return to its own land of Egypt. The Chaldeans will also return and fight against this city, and they will capture it and burn it with fire. Thus says Yahweh, do not deceive yourselves, saying, 'The Chaldeans will surely go away from us,' for they will not go. For even if you had struck down the entire military force of the Chaldeans who were fighting against you, and there were only wounded men remaining among them, each man in his tent, they would rise up and burn this city with fire." Now it happened, when the military force of the Chaldeans had withdrawn from Jerusalem because of the military force of Pharaoh, that Jeremiah went out from Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin in order to obtain his portion of some property there among the people. Now it happened that while he was at the gate of Benjamin, the master of the guard, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah, was there, and he seized Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "You are going over to the Chaldeans." But Jeremiah said, "A lie, I am not going over to the Chaldeans." Yet he would not listen to him, so Irijah seized Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. Then the officials were angry at Jeremiah and struck him, and they put him in jail in the house of Jonathan the scribe, because they had made that house into the prison. For Jeremiah had come into the pit, that is, the vaulted cell, and Jeremiah stayed there many days. Then King Zedekiah sent and took him out, and in his palace the king secretly asked him and said, "Is there a word from Yahweh?" And Jeremiah said, "There is." Then he said, "You will be given into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, "In what way have I sinned against you or against your servants or against this people that you have put me in prison? Where then are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying, 'The king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land'? But now please listen, O my lord the king. Please let my supplication come before you, and do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, that I may not die there." Then King Zedekiah gave commandment, and they committed Jeremiah to the court of the guard, and gave him a loaf of bread daily from the baker's street, until all the bread in the city had come to an end. So Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard. Jeremiah 38. And Shephatiah the son of Matan, and Gedaliah the son of Pashur, and Jukal the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur the son of Malchijah heard the words that Jeremiah was speaking to all the people, saying, "Thus says Yahweh, he who stays in this city will die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence, but he who goes out to the Chaldeans will live and have his own life as spoil, and stay alive. Thus says Yahweh, this city will certainly be given into the hand of the military force of the king of Babylon, and he will capture it." Then the official said to the king, "Now let this man be put to death, inasmuch as he is making the hands of the men of war who remain in this city, as well as the hands of all the people, limp, by speaking such words to them. For this man is not seeking peace for this people, but rather calamity." So King Zedekiah said, "Behold, he is in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you." Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the cistern of Malchijah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guard. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. Now in the cistern there was no water, but only mire, and Jeremiah sank into the mire. But Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, a eunuch, while he was in the king's palace, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern. Now the king was sitting in the gate of Benjamin, and Ebed-Melech went out from the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the cistern, and he will die right where he is because of the famine, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take in your hand 30 men from here, and bring up Jeremiah the prophet from the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men in his hand, and went into the king's palace to a place beneath the storeroom, and took from there worn-out clothes and worn-out rags, and let them down by ropes into the cistern to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Now put these worn-out clothes and rags under your armpits under the ropes." And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with the ropes and brought him up from the cistern, and Jeremiah stayed in the court of the guard. Then King Zedekiah sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance that is in the house of Yahweh. And the king said to Jeremiah, "I am going to ask you something. Do not hide anything from me." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I tell you, will you not certainly put me to death? Besides, if I give you counsel, you will not listen to me." But King Zedekiah swore to Jeremiah in secret, saying, "As Yahweh lives, who made this life for us, surely I will not put you to death, nor will I give you over to the hand of these men who are seeking your life." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says Yahweh, God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will indeed go out to the officers of the king of Babylon, then you will live. This city will not be burned with fire, and you and your household will live. But if you will not go out to the officers of the king of Babylon, then this city will be given over to the hand of the Chaldeans, and they will burn it with fire, and you yourself will not escape from their hand." Then King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "I am anxious because of the Jews who have gone over to the Chaldeans, lest they give me over into their hand and they deal severely with me." But Jeremiah said, "They will not give you over. Please listen to the voice of Yahweh and what I am saying to you, that it may go well with you and you may live. But if you keep refusing to go out, this is the word which Yahweh has shown me. And behold, all the women who have remained in the house of the king of Judah are going to be brought out to the officers of the king of Babylon. And behold, those women will say, 'Your close friends have misled and overpowered you. While your feet were sunk in the mud, they turned back.' And they will also bring out all your wives and your sons to the Chaldeans, and you yourself will not escape from their hand, but will be seized by the hand of the king of Babylon, and this city will be burned with fire." Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "Let no man know about these words, and you will not die. But if the officials hear that I have talked with you and come to you and say to you, 'Tell us now that you what you said to the king and what the king said to you,' do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Then you are to say to them, 'I was presenting my petition before the king not to make me return to the house of Jonathan to die there.'" Then all the officials came to Jeremiah and questioned him. So he told them in accordance with all these words which the king had commanded, and they ceased speaking with him since the conversation had not been overheard. So Jeremiah stayed in the court of the guard until the day that Jerusalem was captured. 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to get a drink of coffee here. All right, 1 Timothy 6. "All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be slandered. But those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them, because they are brothers, but must serve them all the more, because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited, understanding nothing but having a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by aspiring to it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, O man of God, flee from these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal might. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Command them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, turning aside from godless and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge. Which some, while professing, have gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. All right. Psalm 89, verse 38 to 52. But you have cast off and rejected. You have been full of wrath against your anointed. You have spurned the covenant of your slave. You have profaned his crown to the ground. You have broken down all his walls. You have beset his strongholds with ruin. All who pass along the way plunder him. He has become a reproach to his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies be glad. You also turned back the edge of his sword, and have not made him arise in battle. You have made his splendor to cease, and cast his throne to the ground. You have shortened the days of his youth. You have wrapped him up with shame. Selah. How long, O Yahweh, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember what my span of life is. For what vanity you have created all the sons of men. What man can live and not see death? Can he provide his soul escape from the power of Sheol? Selah. Where are your former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your slaves, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples, with which your enemies have reproached, O Yahweh, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be Yahweh forever. Amen and an amen. And finally, Proverbs 25, verse 28, so very last verse. Like a city that is broken into and without a wall is a man without restraint over his spirit. Oh, that's a good one. Very good one. Of course, all of them are, but sorry, that's really good. And that is our reading for today. Let's go ahead and do our evening devotion. The text for it is from Luke 24, 38. Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? The Lord cares for all things, and the meanest creatures share in his universal providence, but his particular providence is over his saints. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Precious shall their blood be in his sight. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Let the fact that while he is the save, Savior of all men, he is specially the Savior of them that believe, cheer and comfort you. You are his peculiar care, his regal treasure which he guards as the apple of his eye, his vineyard over which he watches day and night. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Let the thoughts of his special love to you be a spiritual painkiller, a dear quietus to your voice. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God says that as much to you as to any saint of old. Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. We lose much consolation by the habit of reading his promises for the whole church instead of taking them directly home to ourselves. Believer, grasp the divine word which a personal appropriating faith. I'm sorry. Grasp the divine word with a personal appropriating faith. Think that you hear Jesus say, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Think you see him walking on the waters of thy trouble, for he is here and he is saying, fear not, it is I, be not afraid. Oh, those sweet words of Christ, may the Holy Ghost make you feel them as spoken to you. Forget others for a while, accept the voice of Jesus as addressed to you, and say, Jesus whispers consolation. I cannot refuse it. I will sit under his shadow with great delight. All right, well, that is our episode for today, our show for today. Thank you for spending this time with me. I continue to say, I pray that this time in the Word helps to keep you saturated in the Word. Again, this should not be a replacement for, but should be alongside your own reading and study and meditation on the Word. We need to be doing it every day. All of us do. It is not a request. It is a command, and it is so that we are truly saturated in it and so that we truly walk more and more as imitators of Christ. So, again, I pray that this time does that for you. I hope you have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. I would continue to implore you to do all you do for the glory of God. I do want to let you know, I hope that your weekend plans actually have planned in them worshiping with the saints, unless you are physically unable. We are commanded to worship together physically, not to sit and stream. But if you are physically unable, to find a good church where you are or to come join us physically, know that we have a live stream up. We will be live streaming our worship services on Sunday, and we stream them on Sundays and Wednesday nights, Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. Sunday morning, we stream them at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and we stream them on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We're working through Matthew on Sunday morning, and actually this coming week, we have been working through Amos, but I will be teaching this coming Wednesday, and we're working through the Psalms. So I'll be in Psalm 2 and maybe a little bit of Psalm 3. So you're more than welcome. We would love to have you if you can't physically join us or anybody else, Solid Church, for teaching. All right, let's go ahead and close out with prayer. We're going to close out with the Seventh-day evening prayer. It's called Future Blessing. Let's pray. O Lord God, there is no blessing we implore, but thou art able to give, hast promised to give, hast given already to countless multitudes, all unworthy and guilty like ourselves. Make us willing to receive the supply of our need from thy bounty. To this end, convince us of sin, soften our hard hearts, to bewail our folly, ingratitude, pride, unbelief, rebellion, corruption. Through the law may we die to the law, then look with wonder, submission, delight, to the provision thou hast made, for the glory of thy name and the salvation of sinners. Give us a hope that makes us not ashamed, a love that excites to holy obedience, a joy in thee that is our strength, a faith in thy Son who loved us and died for us. May we persevere in duty when not fully conscious of thee, wait upon thee and keep thy way, be humble and earnest suppliants at thy feet, live continually as on the brink of eternity, let us be at thy disposal for the duties and events of life. Submit our preferences to thy wisdom and will. Resign our enjoyments if thou shouldst require it, as our absolute proprietor and best friend. In our unworthiness and provocations, make us grateful for the means of grace and the ordinances of religion, and teach us to profit by them more than we have done. Help us to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, to enter upon the Sabbath mindful of its solemnities, duties, privileges, setting all things worldly aside, while we worship thee. May we know the blessedness of men whose strength is in thee, and in whose hearts are the highways to heaven. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one. God bless.